In the book of Habakkuk. And we share together to remind ourselves that there is the prophet Nahum, and he's looking at Nineveh and its destruction in the light of the Babylonians' defeat, the Ninevites, Assyrians, and then they're going to come down against Israel. And then there's Nehemiah, and each one, Ezekiel and Daniel, etc., coming down, Jeremiah, all of them are in active at the same time. And in the process of that is Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is a man looking, and he looks, it's only three chapters long, like Jonah is only three chapters long. And Habakkuk is looking at Jerusalem and Judah. And then God has him look at what's going to happen to Judah and Jerusalem and how it's going to happen. So he is brought in to the mind and heart of God to understand what's happening. Illustration for good or bad. Remember that Peter, you had 12 apostles, and God in his wonderful wisdom took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, just the three of them. And they were given a glimpse of Moses and Elijah and the future that the others didn't have. It was a privileged thing to be exposed to God's bigger picture and how it was working. Later, God had Peter, James, and John, no one else, go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And they were exposed to a huge, awesome experience in watching our Lord humble his heart, as it were, and receive willingly, not my will, but thy will be done, and go to the cross. God gives Habakkuk a wonderful, wonderful experience. God gives us, if we would take it, a wonderful experience, because we have the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk didn't have all that you have by any stretch of the imagination. We have hugely more than he did to be able to step into the heart and mind of God if we would choose to. Now, it's costly to do so because you're going to be moved in a whole other realm in a whole other way, and you have to think about everything differently. You feel differently about everything, persons, people, places, problems, history. Your whole world changes. Because you can't think anymore like the other guy does. You can't do it. You have a window that God has given you of the what's how it is and how things really are. So now, here in Habakkuk, we share together and reminded ourselves that as he looks, he's looking, and God, he's looking at a very troubling conditions, and the troubling conditions are going to be more troubling. Things are bad, and they're going to get worse. And God has him. He lets him see it. Habakkuk's looking at it. He's in the middle of it, as it were. And so he says in verse 2, chapter 1, the two little words, how long? How long, God? How long, how long? Here's Israel, Judah, I should say, and Jerusalem, going downhill. They aren't going uphill. You would think if they just, because after all, you're part of society, remember. So wherever society goes, you're going. You're going for the ride. And so here's Habakkuk, a Jew, watching the Jewish people go down. And boy, that's a different story now. And so as he looks, he wants to know how long. How long, God, are you going to let this happen? They are going downhill, You are not stopping them, chastening them, correcting them, punishing them. They just are going down and down and down. And Habakkuk, what else do you know as you look? You are helpless. You are absolutely helpless in doing anything about it. All you can do is see it. You can't do a thing about it. You have to watch where it's going. And you have to understand where it's going and why. And be at peace. Because you can't do a thing about it. Not a thing. Now, so here's Habakkuk looking. And he realizes how helpless he is to do anything to fix, to stop what's happening. He can't stop it. And the people of Judah and Jerusalem will not listen. They are not listening to Jeremiah, etc., as we're studying it. So now, having said that, remember he's looking, and in verse 3, he says, why? So you've got a how long in verse 2. And in verse 3, you have why? Why? Why are you letting me see this? And we gave you a thought or two, because you're privileged. And you're given the opportunity to be exposed to what God knows perfectly. And everyone else isn't paying attention for the most part. But Habakkuk, I want you to pay attention. I want you. In fact, I'm going to have you record and be a witness so that we here in this age and day can read it. And we can learn from it. We're in a world just like that, only we aren't looking at Jerusalem and Judah. We're looking at the whole world. Quite different. Quite different. We look out the window and watch, and here's all around Israel. And now you add Turkey, I guess. Turkey's in there now. And Turkey is Muslim Brotherhood. And Tunisia, you got the whole circle. The whole circle, Muslim, all around. And so, Ezekiel 38, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Russia comes down with the Muslims. The Muslims are all there. Are the Muslims going to be in agreement with going after Israel? I guess so. I guess so. They're all there. Who's going to stop? They're all in agreement. Wow. So now, God looking. And why? Why? Because God wants him to participate. And that's what God wants us to do. To work, be with my, it's, you know, it's one thing to have a little child. And a little child growing up, and you feed them and diaper them and all that stuff. And you do that. It's another thing if the young man growing up, or woman, when they can understand what mom and dad are struggling with, and they go with it. They go with it. They know what's going on. They know how the father and the mother and the problems, and they're there. They aren't alienated from it, and they aren't indifferent to it. They're there. They're with you. They're with you. That's hard to find. You know that? That's hard to find that. Isn't that wonderful, though? It's better than diapering. Better than goo-goo. To have someone that understands what you're doing and what you're up against. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. God, you're giving that to us. That's right. Now, so how long and why? And then you go down. Remember, we were in verse 5. And behold, look, pay attention. It's a command. Behold, how long, why? And behold, now, and remember now, God isn't, why God, aren't you doing something about it? And God, here's all your rightness. And God, where's your judgment? Where are the law? Where's the law? Where's all the activity? We see what's going on with human flesh. God, where are you? Now, verse 5. Behold, God is going to answer him. Behold, look among the heathen, the nations, and regard. I want you to pay attention now, he said. See, I want you to see. See what? And wonder, see, pay attention, look out the window and see Israel's condition. And I want you to look out the window and see something else. When you look at Israel, I want you to look at something else. And here he says in verse 5, wonder marvelously. And remember, we shared together, wonder marvelously. And God is not indifferent. That's the danger now, that God doesn't care. God doesn't see it. God doesn't seem to, it doesn't seem to be a problem anywhere. Where are you? Isn't God interested? Question. Watching what happened. Huh. Behold, among the heathen, the nations, all of them, and regard, see, and wonder marvelously. And remember the two words. The two words are the same verb. And in the reflexive, I want you to go. I'll give you a little half a thought on that to give you the two words together. Because they're the same verb. The same verb. And God is not indifferent in to the plea, to the prayer of his servant Habakkuk. God knows the heart need. And God gives the answer fittingly. And so now, here's your little word, wonder marvelously. And thus, remember now we share together, because the construction is, I want you to be serious, give serious compliance. I want you fully obligated to what I'm going to tell you. I don't want you to let it come in the one ear and go out the other. I want you to see it, and let it land in your heart, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. I want you to seriously put what I'm going to tell you to work. Thus, the serious compliance, as you stand in mute amazement, stunned, silent, on what's going to happen. So overwhelmingly, you don't know what to say. You can't say anything. You're stopped. You're silent. Wow. Your serious compliance as you stand in mute amazement. And then the verb again, being astonished. I want you to stand in mute amazement and be astonished. I want you to be. Horrified is a word. English word. Horrified at what's going to happen. Now, so now, in the light of that in verse 5, God, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to work a work in your days, and I'm going to work a work, a wonderful work that I'm going to do. I'm going to be working a work. I'm going to be involved. The builder, the architect, the designer, the architect and the builder are at work, and that's God. And so I'm going to work and be working a work, present tense, going to be working it. And in verse 12 then, you're going to have another couple of questions. Remember, we looked at them. And in verse 12, God, you are, how can you, God, I know what you're like. And I'll read it just for the sake of reading it. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. God, you are one holy, righteous God, and you can't look at evil. You can't look at it. It is offensive to you. Evil, bad, wicked. God, you've got to do something about it. Therefore, the little question, verse 13, Wherefore, or the little word why, W-H-Y, wherefore, why lookest thou, God, upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue silent, when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? God, how are you going to go? And you're going to judge Israel, and Israel's bad. But if you're going to judge Israel and by with the Chaldeans, verse 6, if you're going to judge them with the Babylonians, the Chaldeans are terrible. They're like the Assyrians, cruel, merciless. They kill, run over everybody, men, women, and children, slaughter them. You've seen that and heard of that in places around the world where men move like that. And literally, it's terrible. Wow. Now, So in the light of that, now, so God, why? What? Why? Where? Where are you? And thus we see it in chapter 2, to remind ourselves that the answer, Habakkuk is going to wait for the answer. He's in the middle of it, so he needs an answer. Otherwise, he's going to withdraw and go hide inside and have a little life for him or herself, and we're going to do it without understanding what's happening. We're going to withdraw in our little world. Oh, gas is a little high and food's up 8% or something, and we're going to do whatever. But we're going to get along. We're going to get along, and we're going to text and tweet and television and phone. You hear all that stuff. You know it more than I do. And everything is recorded. Everything is recorded. I thought it neat. Every time you turn the television on, they know just what station, what you're watching. They know when you turned it on. They know when you turn it off. I got to tell you, what isn't there? It's a marvelous thing. Every time, you know, I just saw it. I said, wow. Every time you go to the gas station, they record what you bought, how much you bought, where you bought it. Everything's being done. Every time you do anything. Only we, with no little, what do you call those little things again? Whatever those little things are. Only we are hidden. Hidden. But we're really not hidden at all, you see. Now, so in the middle of it, God, what are you going to do? Well, Habakkuk's going to wait for the answer. God is going to answer in his all wisdom, all wise wisdom and ways and works. God's going to do it. And Habakkuk's going to wait, chapter 2, verse 1, etc. And he's going to wait. And God, he's going to wait. And we shared that last time. What are we going to have to do? We want answers. And there's a time to have an answer. And there's a time you wait. There's a time, as we shared in John 16 and all over the place. There's a time I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So I can't tell you them. I can't tell you what I could not tell you, so you know, but you don't. You aren't in the place to know. And remember, we shared it the other day. God doesn't cast his pearls before swine. And you want to know that book. You want to know it for the right reason. Otherwise, you could study it till you're blue in the face. And you can memorize it and exegete it. But if you don't want to know, you will dig in the sand and the dirt, and you'll never find the diamonds. You'll never get the gold. You'll just get a nice message, but no truth. No nuggets. Just another Bible or something. Because God won't let it happen. He never gives it up. Never. Only you got to have a hungry heart and the right attitude. And God gives it, wow, as he wishes. Now, in the light of that, God is going to give the answer, chapter 2, verse 2. And God's going to say, when you make it clear, the vision, the information I give you, then make it very large, clear, easily read, so that everyone that comes by and reads it can run excitedly to give the good news. Proclaim the wonderful thing that God is doing. Wow. Awesome, marvelously, stand in awe. And in verse 4, don't lose heart. Make sure you understand you need to come by faith. By faith, you can't do it any other way. No other way. You have to give God right to be who he is. God always does right. Everything right, everything in the right way, everything in the right time, God does it. So what is God doing? What is God doing? Well, you want it in the middle of all of that, in all the questions you have. Ask yourself, make sure right up in the front of all those questions is what is God doing in me? What is God doing with me? What is God doing for me right now? In the midst of it all. God, what are you doing for me? I'm open, God. The rest of the people aren't. They don't care. But I'm open, God. I'm looking. So, God, in order for me to get the answer out here, at least I'm going to start with myself. Take heed unto thyself. and I'm going to start with myself and let it start. So I'm going to get the wonderful movement of God to quicken and make fresh and full and flourishing my heart. Wow. Now, and so by faith, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. So you're going to have to go by faith, walk by faith. And then the conditions are there. They're all there. And they aren't going to go away. And but what do you know? You're all caught. We're all caught and carried by the system, whether we like it or not. But don't get caught up in the system. I'll give it to you another way. In Paul, in a Roman prison, was prison, and he's going to die. Second Timothy, he's going to die. He's not getting out this time. Nero's going to take his head. That's what he's going to do. And Paul says, I want you to know, even though I'm bound, I am captured in the conditions that I can't get out of. But God and his word are not bound. You don't put God in jail. You don't put truth in jail. You surround it with all the darkness and all the wrong in the world, but you don't do a thing to it. You don't do a thing to truth or to light. And you and I are free in the middle of being captured, caught. We're not caught. Not caught up in it. Now, so in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to chapter 3 we were. Remember, we looked at chapter 3. And in verse 2, great prayer, praise of Habakkuk. O Lord, I have heard. Remember now, he's going to trust God. God, I don't. You're going to do something wonderful. You told me by faith to just be dependent, childlike. What's going to happen? How it's going to happen? The Father knows. We don't know. God knows how it's going to go. Think of all the people in the world that might awaken your own heart that are in just such situations right now where their whole life is like this, whether they live or die. They don't know whether if they go to bed or whether they'll get ever wake from going to bed, from a bomb, from people, from terrorists, from all kinds of conditions that are horrible out there. And they live like that. It becomes normal to them. So now, here in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk, you're going to have the right attitude. I'm going to wait. Going to wait, God, whatever you, whenever you want. O Lord, I have heard thy speech, verse 2, and was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work intensively, make it alive. God, roll up your sleeves and make the work work. Make the work work. Make it work. Do it, God, in the midst of the years, in the midst of all the years. Here's all the years going by, God. You do what you're going to do. I'm not telling you the timing of anything. I'm not telling you how to work it out. In the midst of those years, make known. In the midst of all of this that's going to happen down the corridor of time, make known. Make known in wrath. Make it years, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In all that you're doing, God, the wrath of God is legit. Your anger is legit. No question. No question, God. But, so is your mercy, God. So we're trusting in your mercy. Now, having said that, and then you go through in Psalm 3, chapter 3, and come all the way over, if you would. Chapter 3, over in verse 15, or verse 13, a little bit. Remember now, here is Nebuchadnezzar coming down. Nebuchadnezzar's coming down and coming to take, and they're going to butcher the people, more or less, in Judah and Jerusalem, etc. They're coming down. And in the process, God, are you going to come along and be involved? God, are you involved when all of this happens? Yes, I am. Now, in the light of that, And in verse 14, I'll read it, thou didst strike through with the staves the head of his villages, his own village. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me, Judah, etc. They're rejoicing, the people of God. Their rejoicing was as to devour, to consume the poor, to conceal the people that were oppressed, afflicted. That means to be bowed down. It means they're helpless. Helpless people. You're going to come in. They aren't armed. They aren't going to fight you with machine guns. You're going to come in and butcher them. Catch them, God. They're poor. And you're going to do it in secret. Secret. That means you're going to take advantage. There's no opposition. You're going to knock them all down. And the word in secret has to do with hiding, concealing. And in the process, it has to do with going and being devastating, being terribly bad, detestable is our word, detestable. It's a detestable thing that they do, to take women and children and people who have no way to defend themselves and just to run all over them. It's a detestable thing that they did. Now, so what are you going to say? God, you're telling them, this, it's going to be like this. Now, where's the beat, God? What do you know as a believer, Habakkuk? What can you work with? Verse 15. Thou didst, God, thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. You, God, you with all of the enemies, all the way down from the Egyptians, all the way coming down, whoever rises up, you're able to go and do something wonderful. And the Egyptian army charges across the Red Sea, and you come along and wipe them out. Here comes Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to come down and get us. But God, you're there to put this together. You're there when the enemy comes in like a flood. You're there, God, to help us. And that's what's going to happen, God. That's going to all happen, but be of good cheer. How much of good cheer? I wish they wouldn't be butchered. I wish it wouldn't happen, but it is, okay? Verse 16. When it happens, God, I know you're going to fix it. I know you have the power. Verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled. Trembled means to move to and fro with great commotion. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered and shook. At the voice of rottenness, rottenness has to do with bones, terror, striking terror through one's bones, to be eaten, rotten, like rotten wood that gets all eaten up and it's rotten and it's no more strong. Verse 16, at the voice rottenness entered into my bones and rotted them, as it were, and I trembled in myself. That I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. When Nebuchadnezzar comes in, etc., it's going to be an awesome thing. There's going to be an invasion. And God, I'm going to have to wait until the invasion takes place. Till the aftermath of the invasion, the purpose of allowing the invasion, the purpose for allowing the problem, the condition, the sickness, the coming, the going. God, I'm going to have to wait and let it work itself out. And it will. It will. I know it will, God. I'm confident in that. No question, God. In wrath, remember mercy. God, I'm going to know that. So I'm going to wait. Wait until. And in the process now, picking up, if I can, and remember now, he's standing, looking, as it were, facing, looking at the things. He isn't running away. One of the things we try to do that you have to learn not to do is run away from reality. You don't want to run away from reality. You want to see reality. I don't want to ever run away from the reality. I want to know it, and I want to thank God for His mercy and grace in the midst of reality. So don't run away from reality. When you do, you're kidding yourself, and you're losing out. How are you going to develop if you don't face reality? That's what makes you grow. That's what makes you know. So you can't back off. You have to face it. What are you doing, Habakkuk? I'm going to look at reality. I'm not running away from it. I'm going to look to God. When you go to the doctor, make believe you go to the doctor, and going to the doctor, and sometimes we don't want to go to the doctor because we're afraid of what he might discover, right? And that reason you don't want to go, because they have to discover. The reason you don't want to go to the dentist, because you're apt to open the mouth, and the dentist says, aha, and then I need to do thus and thus and thus, and I need to take out all your whatever at once. And you don't want to go to the dentist. You don't want to go to the doctor. But, the reality is, if you can get through that and face the reality, you're going to be the beneficiary. If you wait too long, the dentist will say, forget your teeth. They're all going to fall out by themselves. So you won't need me. You won't have any teeth either, you know. Just wait. So now, here we are looking to God, trusting God. We aren't going to run away to doctor, lawyer, or any chief. We're going to look to you, God, to work it out, God. I want to see the reality, and I want to look to you for your mercy and goodness and kindness in it all. And you'll notice, please, in verse 16, that I might rest in the day of trouble. I might rest to set oneself down, to rest from labor, troubles, calamities. I'm going to sit down and rest. Rest, God. I'm going to rest from it. I'm going to carry it, but I'm in it. But I'm not gonna get worn out trying to carry it everywhere. God, I'm gonna cast my burden upon you. You have to work this out. I can't work it out. I'm helpless, little, small, limited. I can't do it. So God, you're gonna have to take care of it. And so now in my calmness, gonna be calm in the midst of the hour, in the middle of the hour of trial. I'm gonna be calm. Now, verse 17. As I said, now, God, and now, you got to remember, you got to face reality. You have to face reality. Verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat or food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, no animals, no vegetables, no fruit. Nothing. It's all going to be taken. Land stripped the fields, stripped. Buildings gone. Everything's down. Wow. Rubble. All of that, God. You're being realistic? Uh-huh. You're looking at things as they're going to be. I am. All the things that I think I own now can all be gone, taken away because of conditions. And they'll all go, wow. So God, here we are looking. And in the process, in verse 17, looking at the situation. Now, in the light of looking at verse 17, in the light of the real world around and where it's going to go, what am I going to do? I'm going to go calmly, resting, looking to you, God. Verse 18. Yet, in the midst of all of this, verse 18, yet in the midst of this, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So I'm being very realistic. And I'm going to be able to look to God and rejoice. It's a command. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And that has to do with sound, joyful sound. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That's why I can do so. I don't rejoice in the conditions, in my problems, in my health, in my wealth. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. Because rejoice in the Lord always, again I say, rejoice. And I've got to do the commands. What is the will of God for my life? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, etc. Rejoice in the Lord. That's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. That's what you have to do. That's what you're told to do. No. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now. And I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy, the word joy, verb, and that has to do with movement. So the first one has to do with sound. The second one has to do with movement. A joyful movement, a joyful mood, a joyful voice, joyful. The whole being is joyful. Wow. Yea, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to trust God with all my heart. Now, and thus, then you come, as you know, to the statement. So Habakkuk, things were bad, but when I really thought them through and put it in objectively in front of me, in the light of God, light of what's history, in light of the world, in the light of a new heaven or a new earth, God, all right, it was all right. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. Yahweh is my strength, my ability of mind, the vigor, the strength of a tree, a live, healthy tree, versus rottenness, rotten wood, healthy wood, rotten wood. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet. He will make my feet. Cause my feet. My feet, he will make my feet like hind's feet. That's what he's going to do. And the word I had, deer, hind's feet, swift, sure, strong feet, confidence in action, agility and ability. Wow. And he will make my feet like hind's feet, like hind's feet. Wow. What are we going to do with hind's feet? God, well, He will make my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk, make me to behave, make me to live, and causative, make me to live, to cause me to tread, to go upon my high places, all my high places, all of the thing. I'm going to have freedom for what? To be able to fulfill God's wonderful will for my life. But the world isn't cooperating. People aren't cooperating. The church isn't cooperating. The world isn't. But you, God, the heart that will look to you, you'll make the heart. God doesn't want the heart to be bound. God doesn't want the heart to fail, to falter, to fall apart. There's no trophy in that. That's normal. God has made it so we don't have to have that happen if we trust him. Verse 19. He will make me to walk, cause me to tread upon mine high places. He'll give me great victory, power, privilege, so that I can move through life. Each stage of my life, each day of my life, each condition of my life, I can go looking to you, God, for the strength. God, make us strong all the way to the end. There is an end. But God, I want to be strong in heart, in mind, maybe not in body, but I want to be strong in my heart and in my mind as I go forward, God. And so, God, are you going to do that? I am. He will make my feet like hind's feet to walk upon mine high places. That's what he's going to do. Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy in chapter 32. Picking up, if I may, God's wonderful words to Israel isn't believing they're going to go into the land, cross the Jordan River. But you know, there's, and all the stuff that warns them that they aren't going to do, their heart isn't where it should be, and the book of Judges is going to show that. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. But in the middle of it, if you were there, there's a word, if you would take it. Verse 13, chapter 32. I'll read verse 11 because we did it. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings to teach him to fly, etc. So the Lord alone did lead him, Israel, and there was no strange God with him. He made him, Israel, to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, etc., etc. Milk. I gave you all of that. And you know they had that. They had that. What do you know when you just read Habakkuk? All of it's going to go. All the good stuff, all the stuff that was just there, is going to be eaten, taken away by the enemy. They're going to have none of it. Wow. God, but you made them. You made them. High places. What do you mean? I made you above all nations of the earth. No nation can conquer you. No nation can take away from you all that I would give you. No nation can deprive you or depress you or discourage you. Ever. You're a winner. But they didn't win. They could have won, but they didn't. Over to chapter 33. Chapter 33. As you come to the end of Moses giving his account. Chapter 33, verse 29, you know. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And what they would seek to take away from you, you will override them and go right down the corridor. Do you know what they tried to do with our Lord? From almost the day one, he started to ministry. They wanted to kill him. Kill him. And do you know what? With all their evil and intents, do you know, time and time and time again, we aren't told how many times, he walked right through them. He walked on the high places of the earth. He was a winner. He was a winner. And he couldn't lose until it was time to lose. And then he did it voluntarily. He gave himself to the cross, which no one could have touched him. All of the world couldn't touch him. All of the world. Save thyself, Lord, said the crowd. But he wasn't trying to save himself. He was trying to save you. Trying to save you and me. That's what he's doing. What are you doing that for? I have an objective, a wonderful objective. Now, in the light of that, Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And picking up, please, in Psalm 18. Remember now, looking, here's David. And remember now, you don't have to lose out. David, the city, the people generally didn't ever enjoy what David did. And David had the right, so do you, to know and honor God in your situation. Here's David, and David tells you what God can do. And God did it. That's why he could kill a lion and a bear and a Goliath. And he could live under terrible conditions of Saul and the rest of it. Psalm 18, picking up please in verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon mine high places. Not anyone else's. You want God's will for your life, not someone else's will. You want God's will. The minute you're trying to get someone else's, you aren't going to get it, because it isn't yours. The only one you get is God's will for your life. And that's what you're looking for. And that you can have. Wow. Verse Verse 33, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, He setteth me upon mine high places, etc. Teaches me my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken with my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me, and thy gentleness hath made me great, and God the very fact that you would be merciful to me and bend down to me. In the midst of my condition and need, God, it makes me a conqueror. It makes me to have feet like hinds' feet. It makes me to be able to bounce around like they do, way up on those rocks, little pointed edges, and you watch them, and we could never do that, ever. They are able to do that. Wow. God, you would enable me to go down the corridor of time like that? I would. Over, if you would. I have one other thought, but I'll hold that. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, you remember David is looking to God. He went through his hard college of hard knocks in learning. And he recovered and was real and faced everything. And it took a little bit in his life. Remember, verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. I dried up. I my bones were all dried up. The opposite of, like you read in Proverbs, the marrow to thy bones, make them moist. Wow. So my bones are dried up. God, I went through anguish in my head and heart. I had to work it through. I had to pray it through and struggle through. I could have turned to you in 2 seconds. But I waited. I waited and wanted to fool with it and worry about it and think about it and try to rationalize like everyone would tell you to play with the whole thing so you can get out of what you're doing. You aren't doing bad. You're doing all right. It's everything's okay. And it really isn't. And that's what happened, you know, with Israel, Habakkuk said. They listened to the prophets. They didn't believe. They didn't wait upon God. So now, here in chapter 32, skipping down, knowing God's wonderful forgiveness, verse 5, verse 7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me. That means to surround, to surround you. To shall compass me with what? Songs of deliverance. God, would you surround me with songs there? Not songs of sorrow and heartache and headache. No, you would surround me with songs of deliverance on my high places so that I don't have to get depressed, depleted, and everything else. I don't have to become stupid about everything. I don't have to do that. No. No, I'm going to look to you, God. And in doing so, I'm going to find, when I do, that you're there to surround me. You're there. I'm in the middle of you. God, in the middle. And you are very merciful. And, God, you have thoughts about me that are what? Higher than the heavens and more than the sand of the sea. I mean, that's pretty good, if you ask me. I could be in the middle of a big crowd, and here I am, God, in the middle of a crowd. But here you are, and not one person in that crowd cares about me like that, like you do. And they can't do anything for me, but you can. You can. Wow. Wow. I'm going to look to you, God. Song in the night. Hinds' feet. So, God, when it seems hard, I'm going to exercise my feet and prance, move freely in you, being totally restricted. In bonds, in jail, but you are not bound. The word is not bound. Your power isn't bound. And I am a free man. in the midst of bondage, I'm free. And you know from Proverbs, don't you, 16 and that, the man or woman, the boy or girl that can conquer their heart is greater than Napoleon and all the conquerors of the world. Conquer your heart. We just did it on Sunday. Your mind, what you think, is where you win or you lose. That's where you win. Wow. Anyway, I hope you get it a little bit. And you might have a particular prayer request as we go to prayer. Yep.